take away all my sin. Let me bury, Lord, repay me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lead me, Lord. Lead me, Lord. Next verse. Lead me on, Lord, from temptation. Purify me from within. Fill my heart, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Take away all my sin. Let prepare me, Lord, prepare me. Be a sanctuary, be a sanctuary, Jesus, pure and holy, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary.
Yes, Lord Jesus, this morning, that's our prayer. And Father, we have come as your sanctuary this morning. We've come with a broken spirit and a contrite heart, with all humility, knowing that, Lord, this sacrifice you will not despise. So, Lord, we want to thank you for the week that is gone. And Father, even having opened yet another week for us. And when we look, Lord, we see ourselves in no other place, but right in your presence, Lord. And even, Lord, we know the grounds that we are standing on is a holy ground, because you created it with your own word. So, Lord Jesus, how thankful we are, O God, that we are become, Lord Jesus, your sons. Oh, in this day, Lord, we are the manifestation of your sons and daughters, Lord. All because, Father, you've chosen us even before the foundation of the world. That, Lord, we will conform ourselves, Lord, to thy image, Lord. And, Father, even giving us ears, Lord, to hear the message of our hour, which has, Lord, transformed us, Lord Jesus, which has quickened us, Lord. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, you have showered upon us. And we thank you for the church, Lord Jesus, that always, Father, you are in our midst, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Oh, out there, Lord Jesus, we know some of our brethren are still on the way, O God. Father, we commit them into your hands. The Lord, you grant them genuine mercies, Lord. Father, this morning, our Sunday school, Lord, is in your hands. Lord, teacher, Holy Spirit, come. And once again, Lord, open your word and let it be, Lord Jesus, life unto us. We ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all thanksgiving, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Shall we be seated? Yes, today we are back to the house of the Lord, and how thankful we are. There has been a lot of things that the Lord had accomplished for us the week that has gone. And even what happened yesterday in Carlo, we are thankful to the Lord. Amen. Amen. God richly bless as many that were able to go. God Richie bless you, and we know the Lord is doing something great. He has already accomplished it. Not he is going to do it, but he has already accomplished it. Something great in Carlo. Amen. So this morning we are continuing our studies on the doctrine of Balaam. So we come to this doctrine of Balaam because of the scripture that we read, and the prophet actually talked about it. So let's read the scripture, Revelation 2, 14 and 15. Revelation 2, 14 and 15. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. 15. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Praise the Lord. For God to say that I hate something, my brother, let us not near it. Amen. God says, I hate this. Let us not go near it at all. Praise the Lord. And as we have already heard, Jesus speaking to his church, and we know how he always take one church, and then he praises them for the good things that they have done. He commend them, praise them that they have done well. And then he looks at their weak points also, their weaknesses. Amen. Where they have gone wrong. And then either he warns them or he admonishes them to do the right thing. Praise the Lord. And then at the end of it, he assures the church that anyone that hears it, has an ear and will hear it, that means will do what he is saying, there is always what? A reward. Amen. As the overcomer, there is always a reward. And so we see here Pergamos. We have already seen how he commended the church of Pergamos. Now he has seen what was going wrong in the church of Pergamos. That some of them hold the doctrine of Balaam. And some also hold the doctrine of what? The Nicolaitans. And he said, these things I hate. So, last week we started to look at the doctrine of Balaam. And then we needed to find out who Balaam was, that prophet. You see, and we found out that he was the prophet of the Moabites. And then we found out who the Moabites were. Praise the Lord. They were related to what? Israel. Because they came out from Lot. And we know that Lot was a nephew of what? Abraham. Good. So, the prophet said, in this Pergamian age, as Pergamos church, the Lord denounces two doctrines. He denounces what? Two doctrines. Yes, sir. Which he hates. Amen. The doctrine of Balaam, which brought idolatry and sinful excesses to Israel at Baal-peor, and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which had been but the deeds in the Ephesian age. If you remember when we were dealing with the Ephesian age, you see, we saw that he said the seed of the Nicolaitans. Praise the Lord. Because that was where it was planted. The seed of the Nicolaitans. We did that. That it started in a very short way, like what? Just a deed, just a saying. Now, In Pergamos, it has become what? A doctrine. See, so at first as the seed of the Nicolaitans, now is what? The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. So this deed that started as if it was nothing. Oh, let us do it this way. But it was out of what? God's way. Oh, let us handle it this way. Out of the will of God. And then gradually, he said, it became what? It became the order. Now this is what we are going to follow. So we see that in the Ephesian church age, he was talking about what? The seed of the Nicolaitans. Now, on the third age, which is Pergamos, it has become what? A doctrine. Amen. It has taken a hold of the people now. Praise the Lord. So, he said, combine this denouncement with the fact that he has been emphasizing Pergamos as the seat of Satan. And it was very easy and proper to conclude that somehow the religion of Babylon has become intermingled with Christianity. See, now, that religion. When we talk of Babylon, all the time our minds go to that country of Babylon. Praise the Lord. But now, it is mystery Babylon. Praise the Lord. It is now mystery Babylon. And that mystery Babylon said it's a city. Praise the Lord. Where someone sits and is what? The head of the church. Praise God. So, let us put that in our mind. Amen. So, the prophet said, if you take away the word of God and the moving of the Spirit as a means of worship, then you will have to give the people another form of worship as a substitute. And that substitution spells Belianism. Amen. If you put away the word of God and the moving of the Spirit as the means of worship, and then you take another something else, praise the Lord. Because after you have taken it away from the people, you have to give them something back. They have to get something to worship. So whatever you give back to them, which is not by the word, it becomes what? Balaam's doctrine. Praise the Lord. But we will come closer to another meaning of Balaam's doctrine. Amen. So the prophet said, if we are going to understand what the doctrine of Balaam is in the New Testament church, we had better go back and see what it was in the Old Testament, Old Church, and apply it to that third age, and then bring it up to the present. See? So, if we want to know and understand the doctrine of Balaam, the prophet said, in this New Testament church, we got to go back to the Old Testament church and apply it to this third age that we are in Pergamos, and then to the present. Amen. So, the prophet quoted said, the story is found in Numbers chapter 22 all through to chapter 25. The whole story, he said, is from Numbers chapter 22 through to 25. Praise the Lord. So, if you, when you get time, just read Numbers 22 all through 22, 23, 24, 25. That's where you get the line of what? This doctrine of Balaam. Amen. And so the prophet gave a short leading here. And he said, now, we know that Israel were the chosen people of God. Mm-hmm. Amen. They were the Pentecostals of their day. Praise the Lord. See, yeah, there were other kind of religion all over. But the chosen people, the children of Israel, were a type of what? The Pentecostals of that day. So, like our day, we can say that the bride is what? Is the type of what? The real Pentecostals of this our day. While there are other many what? Churches. Praise the Lord. So that was how the prophet is trying to put Israel at that time. Praise God. They were chosen people. How many believe we are also chosen?
Amen.
Amen. Said, they had taken refuge under the blood. Oh, amen.
Amen.
The same thing that we have us. We are under the blood of Jesus Christ. They had all been baptized in the Red Sea. And they came up out of the water singing in the spirit and dancing under the energy of the Holy Ghost. While Miriam, the prophetess, played her tambourine. We know the story. Amen. Well, after a certain time of their journey, these children of Israel came to Moab. And you remember who Moab was? Last week we talked about all this. Yeah. He was the son of Lot by one of his own daughters. And Lot, in turn, was the nephew of Abraham. So Israel and Moab were related. And I want you to see that. So they were related. So we see that when Israel left Egypt, all the nations that were along the line, they were all defeated. Praise God. But when they came to Moab, they didn't what? Make any attempt of attacking Moab, because they see Moab as what? Something like they are cursing. Amen. So rather, they sent a message to the king that we want to pass through. And listen to what the prophet said. So Israel came up to the borders of Moab and sent messengers to the king saying, we are brothers. See, let us pass through your land. If our people or our animal eat or drink anything, we will gladly pay for it. See? But we all know that Balak, who was the king, he didn't want. He didn't agree. But let's see how the prophet talked about their journey. He said, now, Israel was on their journey to Palestine, coming from Egypt, and the Lord was with them. Amen. As we are also on our journey, the Lord is with us. He said, every enemy that risen up before Israel was moved out away. See, was moved out from their way. For God said, he will send honest before them. Amen. See, before even they reach there, the Lord, God has already defeated the people already. And they will drive out the enemy. And as long as they walked, now listen closely here. As long as they walked in obedience to his command,
amen,
the Lord does what? The battle.
Amen.
It's never them. As long as they walked in obedience to his command, the job was never too big. Amen. The Amalekites, the giants of that day, meant nothing to Israel. The Amalekites, giants. And he said, though they were small men in stature, that Israel, they were small men in stature, probably like myself. Amen. And then fighting people like Brother David, is it? Brother David, I always call your name. Eh? Please forgive me anyway.
It's okay.
Amen. See, small man like me, eh, standing before Brother David, you see, it's not, it won't be me.
Amen.
But it will be what? Another what? Power that has to do that work. Amen. So when we look at it in the natural way, that's the way how we see it. But spiritually, they were mighty. Amen. The children of Israel, spiritually, they were what? Huge, mighty. Praise God. So, they were small in stature, but they were walking in thus saith the Lord. So no matter what the opposition was, God always seen that his word of promise never failed Israel. Amen. This is very strong. Amen. See? When you see them, they look so weak. But they have one thing. Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, that I will take you to that promised land. So they have that word, thus saith the Lord. So can anything stop it?
No.
When God says, I'm leading you to the promised land, can any strength, can any power stop it? So they have what? Thus saith the Lord. You see. And so no matter the opposition was, God always had to see that his word of promise is fulfilled.
Amen.
And it is the same today. Amen. He's the same. He has not changed. Amen. So, let us just say, we still probably we have to continue next week, you see. So, we want to know this doctrine of Balaam. He said they sent messengers. If you want to read where they sent the messengers, it's Numbers 22, 5 and 6, where Israel sent messengers to the king of Balak. But what did the king of Balak do? He never allowed it. Amen. He never allowed it. But rather went and looked for a prophet, that the prophet will curse Israel. So this Balaam, the prophet of Moab, according to the scripture, said when he curses, you are cursed. When he blesses you, you are blessed. Could you imagine that? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And we are coming to the doctrine of Balaam. And it is true in this our day. Praise the Lord. You see that it's true in this day that there are what? Yes. Many places of worship, they do healing. They do miracles. Praise the Lord. But they are not holding the word. You see, they have moved away from the word. So you could imagine the many places where they are holding on to something that God hates. The doctrine of Balaam. You see. So when you read Numbers 22:6, he said, come now therefore, when he went to call Balaam, I pray thee, curse me these people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I know that whomever thou blessed is blessed, and he whom thou curses is cursed. See? Balaam. Then the prophet said, Balaam, because he wanted to add something more to his own life again. He want to be what? He want to be part of the political affairs. So the prophet said, Balaam, being eager to take part in political affairs, and become a great man. See, moving away from where his position as what? As a prophet. He wants to add what? The political matters also. And we know, today, prophets that are both what? Religious and political. Praise the Lord. And he was so glad to do so. See, to curse the children of Israel. But see that he had to approach and receive the audience from God. See, he was doing things in the right way. That he had to seek audience from what? From God. See, to get the people cursed. So, as we all know, he went and asked God if he could have his permission to go. And we all know, God said, don't go. Finished. You see, before I came to this message, I've said it before, I had that same problem, because that same thing people are holding on to it today, that Balaam was justified because God told him to go. And then God turned around and sent an angel to go and confront him. And if it had not been even the donkey that saw the angel of God, see, standing on the way, he might have smote what Balaam. So you can't understand it. God asked him to go. Until, oh, praise the Lord, I met the prophet of this age. And I got the understanding of this. Clear, very, very clear. Amen. I quite remember when we were children, and our time there were these mobile cinema vans. So one of these mobile cinema vans came to our place, and we went to ask our father permission to go and watch. Our father said, no. Then we went back. And me and my brothers, we just deliberate. They said, for you, anytime, daddy loves you more, you see. So I was the last born, you see. So just go and ask daddy. Well, he will probably change his mind. So I went again. Daddy, please, can we go and watch the cinema film? You know what he said? He looked at me. Go. See, the way how he said it, go. I understood it. You go. Then I came back. I told my brothers. He said, you go. They also understood it. And we sat down. We didn't, because he said, you go. It meant something. Yeah. Praise the Lord. If you like, you go. Because he always has a long cane. Praise the Lord. That's a long cane. And so you remember that the cane is there. You come, I said, don't go. You come a second time. I said, okay, you go. So the way he said it, it just shows that he's not in agreement. Praise the Lord. And so we know how Balaam went back to God again. So let's listen here. When Balaam asked God for permission to go, God turned him down. My. That stunk. But Balak insisted, promising him even greater rewards and honor. So Balaam went back to God. Now, listen to what the prophet said here. He said, one answer from God should have been enough. Amen. But not for self-willed Balaam. You see. And God, he said in the message book, does God change his mind? He said, does God ever change his mind about his word? He said, can God say anything and then say, oh, I'm sorry I said it? Can God take his word back after he has said it? No, sir. See, now I understood it. Praise the Lord. He has said no. And that word ends everything. He will never change his word. And when you look at Malachi, Malachi 3:6, which says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. My brother, if God changes his mind, hey, the confusion that will create, praise the Lord. God says something. Oh, baptism must be in the name of Jesus Christ. And then another time, say, oh, no, I just make it Father, Son, Holy Ghost. My brother, it's a really great confusion. God says something once, and that's the end.
Amen.
So his word that he has said, we should not what? We are looking at the doctrine of Balaam, moving away. And so God said, go. The second time said, go. Praise the Lord. It was what? A permissive will of God. So we can see how many kind of what? Worship are just what? Permissive. It's under what? The permissive will of God. Balaam can curse and you are cursed. He can bless and you are blessed. And today there are many what? Many pulpits, many places of worship. They do what? They heal the sick. They do miracles and everything. But what? They are holding on to three gods. Praise the Lord. You see, the word of God is connected. Just like what? The wheat and the tares. All receiving the same what? Grace. The same sunshine, the same rain. Rejoicing and praising God. In the same vein. Praise the Lord. But it's what? The seed. That makes the difference. Lord willing, we continue next week. Let's quickly bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you, the Lord Jesus. Oh, in this our day, O Lord, Father, you have opened our eyes, Lord, for us to see the mystery of all this hidden message that, Lord, is in your word, O God. Father, we thank you for our Sunday school this morning. We want to commit all the rest of our services, Lord, into your hands. The worship and the praises that is coming, we want to commit our song leader into your hands, O God, the musicians, the Lord Jesus. We want to be in that atmosphere where, Lord, we will feel your presence, O God, this morning. Father, come bless your children. Bless your church this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.